be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And we got coming up, Joe, who do we have with us?
We have write-in candidate for the 1st Plymouth District, John Mahoney.
Oh, well, welcome to Monday Night Talk. John, how are you, sir?
Very well, Kevin. And you?
I'm doing pretty good. I have to say, first and foremost, tell folks, if they don't already know who you are, a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is John Mahoney. I'm a current member of the Plymouth Board of Selectmen. I've been on the board for I just began my third term. Prior to that, I was on the Finance and Advisory Board, and prior to that, I was involved locally as a town meeting member from Precinct 3.
And so what was it about running for state rep that intrigued you, or at least you want to do a writing campaign and be a part of the September 9th race?
Well, as you know, the dominoes have started to fall. Senate President Murray, a transcendent presence up on Beacon Hill, an individual that 8 years ago broke the glass ceiling by becoming the first female president in the history of Massachusetts, she's retiring. And then that left Vinnie DiMacedo, the state representative currently in the 1st Plymouth District. He has left that seat, and he hasn't left the seat, but he's going to walk away and attempt to capture the Senate seat.
Right.
So now there's a void, and I'm going for that open slot.
What would you say, at least now, if I'm correct, you're a Democrat?
Correct.
Okay. What do you feel as far as a void? You're saying a void's being left. Open seats seem like they're the attractive thing. We've had folks from different races where the open seat attracts folks who see it as an opportunity. Is that where you see it as an opportunity, where it's an open seat, not necessarily where you're battling
absolutely.
An entrenched incumbent?
Similar philosophy. If you look at the 1st Plymouth District and obviously the Senate seat for the last 16 to 22 years, typically around Massachusetts, if you're a Democrat or Republican, if you get into that seat and obviously take care of your constituents, chances are that you'll keep getting reelected.
Joe, you have a question, Joe?
Yeah, I noticed that you are a riding candidate. What are some of the challenges or some of the benefits maybe in your mind that you see as you head into a write-in campaign? And how many other candidates are there for the Democrat side? I guess there probably is a primary.
There is a primary. There's a primary Tuesday, September 9th. There's currently one individual who has his name on the ballot. Now, going into the primary, my challenges are permeating between now and September 9th is, the consciousness of as many voters as possible on the Democratic or independent side. On election day, there are 11 precincts in the district, but they only vote at 10 polling locations. Precinct 7 and 14 both vote. They share an elementary school. By state law, we're allowed to have individuals handing out stickers or engaging the voters at the 150-foot away from the entrance to the voting facility. And we will do that. We will have campaign staffers for 8 hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 9th at all 10 of the polling locations. And if anybody has a sticker and they leave it at home and they need one, that will be available to them. And then if we do run out of stickers, we do have 10,000 of them. If we run out of stickers, the voter can always just write my name in underneath the state representative option and then circle in the oval next to the name.
Now, the sticker, just so people are clear, that sticker is allowed by law to be accepted in a write-in slot, correct?
Absolutely. The sticker, the measurement is mandated by the state of Massachusetts. We had that verified by the state and then by the town clerk's office in Plymouth. He signed off on everything. The little business card I will be handing out actually has three of the stickers on the back. The voter can bring that right into the booth, peel one off, put it on the line, and then just circle in the oval next to the sticker.
If you are successful in, your campaign to get written in on September 9th, there's a very good chance that you're going to be going up against one of your colleagues on the Board of Selectmen. Give me your thoughts on that.
I think I've always had a great relationship with my colleague from the Board of Selectmen, and we differ on many points. Obviously, I don't think this forum today will give me enough time to point out those differences.
There'll be future forums that you can definitely do that if you are successful.
Absolutely. Tell Christina set aside at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
And get her bell ready. Right.
But at this stage of the game, Kevin, we're focused on the next 6.5 weeks on executing on Tuesday, September 9th. I don't want to assume anything. We need to get over that hurdle. And I also don't want to talk about the potential general election opponent because that'll be disrespectful to my primary opponent.
And that's very cool that you do that. And I only ask that because it's just an observation that, you know, there are potentially, after September 9th, depending on how the votes shake out, we could see that.
And Kevin, I think obviously the potential exists for a very interesting dynamic.
I have to say, first and foremost, I commend you on somebody who has served on the municipal level in different capacities. One too many times that we, Joe and I, have interviewed folks who are running for office, have never experienced, been on a finance committee or a board of selectmen or a city councilor, but see an opportunity to run for an office, whether it's for Congress or run for, you know, state rep or for state senate, and you say, well, okay, what experience do you have? You obviously, during your third term, you have experience. You've looked at line items and been through, I believe Plymouth does town meeting, right?
Correct. We have a representative form of town meeting.
Oh, a fun, you know, if you've never sat through town meeting, it can either be exhilarating or frustrating. Give me your thoughts about having the experience that if you are so elected, and no disrespect to any other opponents, you have experience to go up to the state house and have an understanding as to what your district needs.
Oh, absolutely. I've been fortunate to have been exposed for the last decade to the town of Plymouth's budget. And I'll tell you one thing, Kevin, with respect to town meeting, when I was a town meeting member almost 10 years ago, I wouldn't sign blank checks. If the Board of Selectmen brought forward an article, I wanted the proper backup documentation and an explanation of why this was going to be good for the town. And I won't go into specifics here, but there was one about 8 years ago that really, there was a lot of anger on town meeting floor. And before the vote was taken on the article, one of the selectmen got up and pulled the article. Mm. You've got to educate your town meeting members as to what you're doing, why it's good for the community long term, and put on a solid presentation. And if you do that, the odds are you've got a pretty good chance of getting an article through town meeting. And now on the Board of Selectmen, I have the same philosophy. If I'm not going to sign a blank check as a town meeting member, as a member of the Board of Selectmen, I'm not going to send an article to town meeting asking them to sign a blank check. It's hypocritical.
In regards to issues in the district, is there one? I know Plymouth is a big part, but not all of the district. Is there an issue in particular you're finding maybe in Plymouth or around there that is kind of dominating the conversation?
Joe, the umbrella issue, I think, obviously, is always the economy and jobs. In 2009, I'm in the elevator union. In 2009, I was laid off for the first time. I never thought that I would be laid off in my life. I thought that as an able-bodied individual, there would always be work for someone like me who was willing to go out and work. I went down to Cordage Park. There's an unemployment office in North Plymouth. And you go there, and they open up at 8 a.m., and you get there at 9 or 9:30, and this is the fall of 09, and there's a line, 100 people out the door. So you leave, and you show back up the next day, and you get there at 6:30 a.m., and you bring a coffee and something to read with you, and you sit in the hall, and now you're the fifth one in line, and you go in, and you file for your unemployment. Never thought I'd be in that situation. So the umbrella issue is always is the economy and jobs. And then after that, there's two, obviously, in the district, there's two pretty large issues, nuclear power plant and the opiate problem.
Mm. If you wanted, would you like to expand your thought on those two issues and some of the things that you would like to at least help start a conversation about up on Beacon Hill if you're fortunate enough to get elected in November?
Yes. Obviously, the main problem with respect to the plant is the false promise that was made almost 40 years ago with respect to what would happen with the nuclear waste. Federal government said, don't worry about it, we're going to take care of it. And it wasn't just Plymouth. Vernon, Vermont, Wiscasset, Maine, and 90 to another 100 communities throughout the United States, the majority of which are east of the Mississippi. So there's a problem there. And right now, Entergy is about to embark on transitioning some of that spent fuel out of the wet pool and put it into dry cast storage. They've got a $160 million construction project down there. They're building a pad, and then the fuel is going to start to transition into these dry cast storage. They're like a giant keg that supposedly can drop from the space, and when it hits the earth, it won't damage. And they're just going to sit there, and at this stage of the game, they're going to sit there in perpetuity. Unless there's a parting of the Red Sea down at Congress or the United States Senate down in D.C. And that's one of the things we need. Now, locally, I've advocated for planning for when the plant goes offline and goes into decommissioning. When the plant first opened up 40 years ago, we were getting the equivalent of about $16 million a year in 73. That contribution, that's in today's dollars. That contribution pushed almost $30 million in the early 90s. It's now down to $9.25 million, and the last of that contribution is going to run out probably in the next 5 to 10 years. You have economic issues down there where it is extremely expensive to run a nuclear power plant. They're competing against fracking and natural gas, where it is inherently more cheap, inherently cheaper. And because of this, the town never adequately planned for when that plant would go offline. It was almost like this thing would last forever, and it didn't. So for the first 42 fiscal years that power plant was online, we didn't set aside one penny as a contingency plan. Now, in the last 2 years, we've done so. We set aside, fiscal year 14 was $1 million of free cash, and then in fiscal year 15, we're putting aside, I think it's $1.22 million. So we've crossed a very important psychological barrier where there's now an admission in the community, in a sense, that we've got to start planning for this because we're not thinking long-term with respect to that. Now, unfortunately, prior to that, this taxpaying entity has contributed almost $1 billion to the budget in Plymouth. And that's gone, and we'll never recoup that. And that financially, that's the biggest challenge facing the town of Plymouth moving forward, certainly within the next decade.
Again, we're speaking with John Mahoney. He's a writing candidate for state rep for the 1st Plymouth District. He's also a sitting selectman in Plymouth, and we're talking with him about his campaign. And we got a few minutes left here with you. Are there any issues that we've been watching go on up at Beacon Hill that have caught your interest or over the past couple of years? Or maybe one of the ballot questions. Maybe there's something in regards to the ballot questions, whether it's the repeal of the gas hike, whether it's, I know that they're talking about repealing casino gaming. That's another one. I know there's as far as sick days. Is there anything?
You look at Kevin, I see the same thing locally. Town staff will bring forward fees, and let's say it's just a beach fee. It hasn't been touched locally for a decade. So because the Board of Selectmen are afraid to, quote-unquote, raise the fee because you're, quote-unquote, raising taxes. Now, if you look at all the other surrounding communities, they're twice or three times of whatever we are. And then you have to address you're forced to address the issue because it's been kicked down the road for a decade. These things need to, specifically with respect to the gas tax, you've got to revisit them every 2 to 3 years. Inflation is involved. The gas tax in Massachusetts hasn't been touched since 1991. It's 23 years. So you took it from 21 cents to 24, a 3 cents increase. And that incremental revenue is dedicated towards infrastructure anyways. It's locked in. So I disagree with tying it into inflation and having it automatically renewed. The leaders on Beacon Hill have got to take that upon themselves to just sit down and discuss this. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at the unfunded liability for infrastructure in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, over the next 20 years, it's $15 to $20 billion. Sure. And when you look at that, there's tens of thousands of jobs there. Just maintaining or modernizing our existing bridges, roads, buildings, and so on. And I think sometimes we get fascinated with building new things as if this is going to serve as an example that something different is going to happen and we neglect what we already have. There was a great article in the Globe a month or two ago, and I don't know if you guys caught this. They were talking about putting in a third bridge over the Cape Cod Canal.
Yeah.
So they wanted to have the private sector, and I guess these discussions are starting now, and maybe you'll hear something definitively 3 to 5 years down the road. They wanted the private sector to come in and fund a brand new bridge over the canal, I think adjacent to the Sagamore Bridge. And then that private sector entity would generate all the revenue. And they'd make all the money for 20 or 25 years and then turn it over to the state. And then the individual who wrote the article said the reason why the state of Massachusetts is not considering building the new bridge because they can't validate that because they have so much antiquated, crumbling infrastructure mm-hmm. that needs their attention. And that's exactly it. I see the same thing in Plymouth. Right now, town of Plymouth, we need $500 to $750 million just to take care of things that we currently have. And if I thought about it for another 10 or 15 minutes, I could probably get it up to a billion. Thousands of jobs under our feet. And would respect, we have a part of our selectmen meeting, so it's called public comment. And I can tell you right now, my experience has been the last 6 years, the majority of people who come in under public comment want something done with their roads. That is the most impactful thing to them. They get up in the morning, you leave your driveway, they want to know the condition of their road. In the town of Plymouth, we need about $100 million right now, according to our engineers, to bring our 440 miles of roads up to an 80% baseline of safety. $100 million. And this year, the town of Plymouth is going to put in $500,000. So it's going to take you 200 years to get there at that pace.
Mm. It's almost like you can equate it to if you have a $5,000 credit card bill and you're paying the minimum, it's going to take you eons to pay that off, as to if you double or triple up on your payments, you might get it down a lot sooner. We just got a couple of moments left here with you. Is there anything that you want to kind of touch upon real quick while we have you here, or do you want to kind of share any information in regards to social media or a website where people can get an in-depth look at John Mahoney?
Absolutely. I'll just share the information with respect to the campaign, Kevin. Website is www.mahoneyforstaterep.org. You can go on there. There's a link to Twitter. There's a link to Facebook. Upcoming events. Had my kickoff event two nights ago down in Manomet. Very successful. I can't thank Scott and Megan Dempster enough. They opened up their home to the campaign, and it was phenomenal. But if they want more information, they can go onto the website. Obviously, there's multiple contacts on there. They can email the campaign. They can call the campaign if they want to volunteer. The primary is 6 weeks from Tuesday. The next 6.5 weeks will be a blur. Lawn signs, we're putting out lawn signs around August 9th. We're looking for 30 days of coverage heading into the primary. Anybody wants to host a coffee, call me. I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
Well, we want to thank you very much for coming in and being a guest and talking about your campaign. We definitely will wish you luck as we all the candidates that we've had come in front of the microphone and chat. Joe, you want to say anything in closing, sir?
No, I hope, I hope, like we do say with all the candidates again, I hope to see you on the other side.
Well, right now the other side is getting beyond the primary. Yeah. And if you two want to have me in again with that potential general election candidate, let's carve out at least an hour and a half. So.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.